I've been watching you.
You creep.
Daddy. I could tell you weren't. I'd just gotten stuff set up, and I could tell you weren't quite paying attention.
Just staring into space, waiting for your vocal tones to slip into my ears.
Stryin', daddy.
I'm stryin' this morning.
didn't get that. That's good.
Do you even talk stryin'? Nice.
I can't even begin.
Good morning.
Good morning. Does this angle seem way different to you? Something feels really off to me.
Your angle, yeah, your angle looks a bit different.
Yeah, what happened?
I thought it was just me.
You're a little shorter today. Sorry. Back from the beach.
Back in the shop. Yeah. The comforts of the studio once again.
Mm-hmm. Got these. It's good. The good old mic. Much less breathy for me. That other one, I can't stop going like, ha ha, are you?
What's happening?
I ran out of coffee.
Okay, get
disappointed.
Some.
I don't have any. I need a way to make. Oh, that's a good point. Got to bring that. We had our class last month and the first in-person one. And I think the biggest gaffe of the entire thing is we didn't have any way to make coffee. And like the first break, somebody was like, you guys got coffee? And I was like, oh, no, oh. This is Portland. I should have coffee, right? And I have an extra like old, just perfectly good like auto drip machine at home we don't use because, you know, we're. Don't use auto drip machines, but yeah, anyway, gotta go on the list.
When's the next one coming up? How far away?
16 days.
Yeah, cool. Still got spots?
Yeah, I think there's 3 right now. Yes, weird.
I have been served some ads for your training on Instagram.
Part of the CAD one?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I gotta tweak those. That's just a boosted post, and I don't think it's doing very well. It's not really converting all that well, so gotta get into the real version, redig through all the settings, and you know, nice hair on the mic. Didn't deal in my mic. So you've become an influencer, I see.
Have I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Instagram dust poppeth off.
Yes.
I don't quite know why. I suspect it's settings at their end. Nothing I have changed. I have done nothing differently. And suddenly...
It's just started to appreciate you.
Yeah. Well, allegedly, they have been changing settings in terms of how...
I did see that.
...content is being served. And it does seem like suspicious timing. But yeah, I'm getting more traffic there than I've ever had. And yeah,
like
I think...
Repeatedly,
it's not just the old unicorn post that's gone nuts. It's like multiple posts that are doing very well. So last week when I reported in that one of them was doing well, I can't remember what number I said then, but that one's gone up to about 150,000 views. And then...
Was it like 50?
I think it was 50. And then the day we chatted, I was like, oh, I should really capitalize on that and continue to post. And so I cut some existing footage together and chucked that up the next day. And that one, which is a video about a configurator, is... clocked over 300,000 views.
Is that getting click through?
Yeah, it is.
Ooh.
Not a vast amount of click through, but like quite a bit of traffic.
Do you ship
coming
to Canada? Ooh.
A bit of traffic coming through our link tree, I can see. And I did my little end of month financials on June, whatever month we're in, April 30. And, the configurator is our third highest landing page, I can see, in Shopify. So, yeah, promising little uptick.
Right.
Not swimming in sales as a result, but definitely getting lots of eyeballs, which is awesome.
Right. Now you got to remarket them, get them back. About it. Now they need to be reminded about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll continue to post if that's what you mean. I've never understood no. The remarketing thing.
I'm sure some of you out here listening have gotten my remarketing, but for whatever reason, my version of it works pretty well. Like, at least, like we've always talked about, the platforms tell me that they're converting really quite highly in terms of the ROAS.
But,
yeah, the remarketing seems to work for us anyway, but it's different for every... When I tried to do it for NAC products, it just didn't work at all. So, it could have been a lot of things, but...
Just walk me through the mechanics of what that actually looks like, if you don't mind. Like, where are you doing it? And who?
You have to go in, like, primarily what works is Facebook or Meta ads. Ugh. So, do you like money? Well, go dance with the devil. If I remember right, there's a way to, when you build an ad, you can say, you know, what are your very famous Instagram is just flashing in my face. I got to change the page. Hold on. You're flashing me. You get to choose who your audience is, what you're advertising to. And so it can be like a bunch of stuff, right? It can be actual people that visited a certain page. It could be people that landed on anywhere on one URL, or could be somebody that added something to the cart from your Shopify. Like, it connects to your Shopify in particular, the way that I use it. You can have somebody that lands on, it could be even from like a email if you really connect it right, or your Instagram page. You could have somebody that viewed one of your reels in the last so many days, and all of that can be used to then, you might be muted.
I was.
All of that can be used to feed back into who you market. You can then take, like, but it gets really complicated for me, and sometimes I just stop at this point, where you can take that and make a lookalike audience of basically duplicate people somehow, of like, these people liked this thing, let's do another million people like that, you know, like, which I get a little confused about.
Dropsies, does that mean I can remarket to people who have seen the configurator reel specifically?
Should be able to, I think so.
That's creepy, but yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Creepy, yeah. It's the, you know, it's creepy, but it's like, I think we're all so dang used to it anymore.
Oh, totally.
At least here. Yeah. I don't know. We're just used to, like, if I go to a website now, and sometimes I'll have the forethought to, like, I'm going to make this a private window, because I don't want to get these ads, you know? Like, because it's just going to happen. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's always the option for the people seeing them, they can opt out if they take those actions. So there's some ellipses somewhere where you can say, stop showing me these ads.
Thanks.
Yeah. Not to sell it too much. I do think that it makes a lot of sense to me. It's just like the hardest thing usually is to get somebody to look at it the first time, I guess. And so I think there's probably even like, I know there's a way to say, all right, somebody that watched that reel longer than the number is 3 seconds, I believe, typically. And that's an engagement. You didn't swipe away within 3 seconds. But you can also say, watch the entire reel, I believe. So it's like, there's something there. Anyway, yeah. See also that your, I think it was that marketer web email thing that we've subscribed to, marketer minute, whatever the hell it is. Remember that email? Sometimes I look at it, and today I believe it was Instagram did announced that they are going to start giving some of the algorithm to the small guys, which I consider myself a small guy in this world, because I just like never get any good algorithm, I guess. What it feels like, I'm sure I do at times, but it's been a long time. I definitely have some jealousy of how well your bills have been going. I'm like, dang, that's cool.
Yeah.
So
it's resulted it's resulted in growth too. Like lots of new faces coming in, which is nice. Oh. And as far as I can tell from the statistics, the vast majority of those new faces are Melbourne based, which is our key target market, which is sweet. It's not just like all internationals who we won't sell to. So, promising. Yeah. Something's gone right there.
This reel, not to go through it in depth, but how do you feel about all these? It seems you've spread beyond Australia in terms of reach. You have any thoughts about international, or is it just not a product that really makes sense for that?
We're not going to ship plywood overseas, or any wood for that matter. We'll continue to investigate international manufacturing under license, as we have with Goodwood in the Bay Area. We should have some crates coming out of there soon. And if we can tool up to do kit aparts with someone overseas, absolutely keen on that idea. But yeah, I'm really not interested in shipping physical goods overseas. Just doesn't make sense to my brain.
Yeah. The scale is, it's just not small, I suppose. Like, if it was just the dowels, provide your own.
Provide your own shelves. Yeah, people have suggested that. But yeah, if we can, you know, establish a few good relationships, like one in the UK and one in the States, and earn a percentage of revenue of those licensed sales, then I'd be quite happy with that.
Sure.
Could be a nice little thing moving forward, but also not in a huge hurry to set it up. Well, you know, whilst there is obviously an opportunity there, I've got enough to fill my plate at home right now. And I do have a bit of a sense of sort of self-protection or something of like, come on, Jim, you got to capture this attention now and like, blah, blah, blah. Like if you sit on it too long, then someone else is just going to start ripping off or making a thing anyway. And like, so I have that, those sorts of thoughts creep in, but,
yeah, it's hard to ignore for sure.
Yeah. Got to focus right now and just stabilize the business and keep it all moving along. So
we'll see.
But I did, as I said, I did my end of month numbers. Sarah, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I reconciled a whole month in one day instead of doing it daily like you've always told me to do. And
that was very doing it.
That was super satisfying. And it was just really nice to sit down. It took me 2 or 3 hours to reconcile the month. And, you know, all those profit first distributions, which make all these extra account transactions, pretty much all automatically reconcile themselves. It's really just clicking okay on them all. It's really not a big deal. It's more the random eBay purchases that I have to like go hunting for a receipt to find in my old email account or something. They're the ones that slow me down.
Right.
That's my own stupid fault. So, got zero all reconciled at the end of the month, and then that allowed me to sort of in and like start to pull some numbers out, and like I did a little end of month report for the team and for Laura, and it looks really good. Like,
yeah,
net profit is still well and truly in the negative, but my little note on that was like, this isn't too bad considering how expensive downsizing the business has been. And, you know, cash balance good. And the biggest takeaway from my little numbers was looking at, like, the product, the sales mix of what we've actually sold. At first I was disappointed. I was like, oh, we're still, you know, 60% of our revenue is still custom work. That's, you know, I'd like that to be 20%. But then I went into zero and actually looked at what those custom jobs were of that 60%, and, like, 10 out of the 14 invoices or something were all just like custom kitter parts, like, which
are
ideal. So it meant that, you know, 87% of our revenue was so-called ideal.
Whoa.
Which that's I was good. Like, shit, yeah, that's awesome. Right. Very happy with that.
Do you lose some profit by making custom kitter parts? Do you take a hit, or do you? Is it kind of a wash, or do you have any idea?
Arguable. Look, some custom kit of arts, if they're really straightforward, I'll just kind of put them through at standard, very close to standard pricing. The bigger custom jobs, you know, have design time in them. They have extra material in them. They've got, you know, allowance for the fact that it is more faff and more work. So, no, I don't think we lose on them. We lose in the sense of, like, it's a little bit...
pure efficiency.
Efficiency. We lose on efficiency, and, like, there's more questions in the workshop. There's more things that could go wrong. Yeah, we lose there. But at the same time, it's also a good sort of testing ground for new products and new improvements and stuff like that. So, good promising here. Over here. Yeah.
And now it's profit time.
Let's go, Daddy.
We had a... distribution today, and that was nice. I kind of reviewed it. I've been talking with a friend about it, kind of trying to convince them to fall in line, I guess. We were collectively talking about this. Fall in line, fall into the group, fall into the profit first cult. would be helpful for them, and they know that. It's just you know, changes a lot, I think. And so in talking about that, he's been, you know, asking me, how has it gone? How do you feel about it? What are you still doing actively with it? And, you know, a lot of it is pretty passive at this point for me. And that was intentional, so that it was doing these things for me without, it's taking away the choices, I guess, I had, which I liked, taking away the bad habits potentially of too much stuff because, oh, that account so full right now. So I think, you know, let's put this on here. The one thing I need to do is split. I'm resisting because I don't want more. I don't want account like creep where I just have like somebody talked about like 20 accounts now. I think I read that on like Reddit somewhere. I don't know. It feels, it's a lot to, so like for one, I have to prepare it to give to an accountant. I have to get like transactions usually for all of it. And then my old accountant anyway, and I have to send them the annual transaction. So every year I'm doing way more work. I suppose if I'm making way more money, sure, okay. But isn't, I definitely need that to split. What? Go ahead.
Mm-mm. No, you go.
Oh, the simple thought in talking with this friend was I need to split my OPEX into another, at least one more thing. I need to have, I was thinking about making one that is kind of my monthly fixed costs, which is lease and payroll. Those two things don't really change more than 5% a month. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that is a big chunk also of what we're spending. And what OPEX has turned into is my old slush fund.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not as, there's still a lot of guesswork in what's sitting there and what I can. Well, one thing that's really nice about how Mercury works is once a payment is sent, it takes it out of the balance that you can view easily. So like if I have a check sent out and it's not cashed yet, it removes it from my view. I can't, it deducts it.
Good.
So like $2,000 out, it takes $2,000 out. It's still there technically. They just hide it, which is nice. I love all these tricks that make Justin, you know, make better decisions because there's not money to see, I guess. It's so basic, but I don't know. That's one thing I need to do this month for sure. It's very easy to do.
First question, checks. What the hell? Still using checks over there?
Fucking checks. Yeah. Some vendors don't take other things. I have kind of started switching to ACH transfers for certain vendors because particularly the checks take like 14 days to arrive or something. I try everything I can to not, but also we have credit card fees, so.
I suppose the horses are slow, like on the old postal carts, aren't they?
Apparently, yeah.
You got to feed them carrots. Bizarre.
Yeah, there's a lot of extra costs there.
Yeah, yeah. My version of that OPEX thing, I was chatting to Laura a couple of days ago and we're saying like, maybe we need to make more accounts because we're chatting to our insurance broker the other day and I was remembering like, yeah, every year we get smashed with all the insurance bills pretty much at the same time. It's like 15, 20 grand that come out in a short period of time. Maybe that's significant. Maybe we need a separate account just for insurance that's splitting off a percentage throughout the year to ensure that we have that cash sitting there. And any other, like in the same way that I'm splitting off tax, because that's sort of either a monthly or a 3-monthly cash hit. I think I might get into that and split off an insurance account not even insurance, but like a sizable, you know, annual reoccurring bills account, whatever that's called.
I don't know where I got that name, but the thing that we used to use this personally, it's called a timing account, which is kind of stupid, but it's like, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't even know if it makes any sense to me right now, but that's what we used it for. It was like bigger things. You need the money sitting aside for insurance or something that you know is coming, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And the other interesting account thing I noticed in the last week was we had some cash left over in my material and freight account, which is unusual so far. It's kind of the first time any sort of reserve has built up in one of those sort of main operational accounts. And there was, I don't know, $3,500 sitting there or something. I was like, that's interesting. I've paid all the material bills. Why is that out of whack? And then Johnny ran out of material. I was like, like out of one, our main sort of material that we use in most of our products. I was like, oh, that's an interesting correlation. Like, we've missed the Kanban level on that, or we've stuffed up the sort of ordering sequence. I noticed there was cash left over, and then 2 days later, we didn't have anything to cut, and there's a truck coming today with some on it. But it's like, oh, interesting. That's a very direct connection. Maybe. It could, yeah. it could be coincidental, but it feels like a very direct connection. So that's
is it fairly cyclical in that you're... Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah, I have not. That's that's definitely something I've thought about too. And you've had the materials and freight. But, you know, of our product-based, we try and do most everything we can that's, I say, kind of lean on demand manufacturing as we can. But there's stuff we make. We buy, you know, a few sticks of aluminum to make parts for pedestals. We're not making those every day. I mean, sure, someday we might get to that. But I have thought about that, like timed or the next product purchases. And I guess I get to this place of feeling like there's, account creep when it's like, well, what? You don't feel any negative aspects towards there being 20 accounts to deal with, to watch for, to percentage manage, to reconcile, to...
No, not really. I'm already like fairly far down that rabbit hole when you combine, because we do this personally as well. Like we did this personally, well, not with the profit first mentality, but like the sort of multi-account management, been doing that a long time ourselves. So my internet banking interface is already like awash with far too many accounts than my brain can really keep up with. So I think in my head, if it serves a function of ensuring that there's cash sitting there at the right time, then I'm quite happy reconciling a few extra transactions to ensure that that happens and I don't have the pain of going, oh, where am I going to find that, and having to steal it out of an account that I don't want to steal it out of or something.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, as I think about it, it does sound smart. It sounds like how I budgeted things when we would budget more tightly 10 years ago, personally. The pandemic really ruined my finance game.
Did it?
And we just weren't going anywhere. And so it wasn't very hard. You know, we weren't spending money on anything. I think that's common for a lot of people. And so we didn't have to be as concerned about, did we spend too much on restaurants this month? Because we weren't going to restaurants. So it's just funny how, like, these things are coming back to me now. And I'm going, oh, yeah, that's how we used to do. You know, if I had a big bill, I would make a budget account. It wouldn't be a separate account. It would be budget. So it'd be a budget planning mechanism, which I suppose that's probably what I should be doing. I don't have a simple way to do that at this point, but I'm saying things I'm really sure I should be doing and just don't do.
Just do it. Yeah, we've had budgets here in the business in the past, but they worked to a point, but because of that slush fund effect of one big account, they also really didn't work either. So This seems to be working for me. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Right.
I'm going to keep pushing this game, see where we end up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess on the same note of reviewing the month, I didn't really do actual... I've been kind of throughout the month doing different income statements and stuff, and things were going well the whole month. It really helped to have the couple different training things were a nice bit of income that we didn't have previously, so it'd be nice obviously to have that continue. We sold more product revenue otherwise than we had been, so that was nice. Cool. So it made me think, especially when talking with my friend about Profit First, it's pretty obvious in a certain sense, but I think one of their questions was, okay, so things are going well, what happens in their case? Like, they're not having a lot of income. They have like maybe one big sale and then that kind of stretches out for a couple months. Like, how do you manage the bad months, I guess? Is it just a lot more borrowing? Is it trying to build up your accounts so that they can weather a longer storm of income? Like, is there anything to be thinking about in advance, I guess, of that? Since I feel like I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like since I started Profit First, it's been a good revenue months, which make it easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, yes, it's important to build up like passive. Obviously, it'd be nice to have a sort of passive reserve to weather the storm of bad months, because I'm sure, you know, of course they'll come.
Yeah. Yep.
But I think what feels more pertinent to me is that finger of the on the pulse of like weekly understanding of where you're at and being able to go,
right,
I'm not going to let this be a bad month. What can I do now to ensure that it won't be? Like, I need to generate X amount more revenue this week, this fortnight, whatever it is, and going out there and doing something about that. As opposed to sort of sitting back and sort of feeling like it's a storm that's just going to inevitably wash over you. Like, I don't know. I don't see that ending well.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know that I've ever felt like I have a lot of control when things are going bad. You know, try to revisit good clients, see if you can help them with anything. I don't know how loud that is.
Yeah, that's fine.
Fork manufacturing.
Yeah, nice. On your super special Giga.
Yes.
So that fix just still treating you well?
It, you know, in the first time I ever made a fixture on the mill for the router, I definitely made mistakes. But it's so accurate internally. Like, once, you know, strangely enough, the outside faces are not well machined. Like, I don't know what happened. There was some weird thing with the flip. So, like, we have a way to indicate it in. And then once it is, it's like, they just come off basically with, like, I'm still blown away. We probably can't even measure it as well as we think we are, but like with a height gauge, with nice Minutoyo calipers, like, we're getting like plus or minus 2 or 3 thou, which is
small numbers,
0.076 millimeters a router, which feels,
it's great,
pretty remarkable. It just keeps pumping out good parts once we get it dialed in. We had a little bit of a height discrepancy on one feature, but we fixed that. So I'm pretty well. We're trying to stock up a bit for the month. I'm trying not to overstock, but we expect to have some pretty good sales since we're having our big ass annual sale. I don't know. I think that's my, I might call it that. The big ass annual sale.
Good morning, Daddy.
That sale. Yeah.
I think we completely creeped my wife out. I played her some of those, and she's like, "Do you guys have a thing? You guys, sorry, like into each other? Just call each other daddy all the time?" And I was like, "I guess we do. It's kind of weird, isn't it?"
I've been trying to make daddy tracks since last week. It's a bit of a work in progress, but I'll give you a taster now.
Whispers. It's really, really, really quiet.
Yeah, really quiet. Yeah, I'll patch that in later.
It'll probably come across way better than something always weird happens with those things. I clipped this guy. This is my new favorite.
Oh, I can get you tow by 3 o'clock this afternoon with nail polish.
I love that sample.
It's so good. I say that all the time in the shop, and I feel like, you know, you definitely, Ricky's luckily of an age that he gets it, but man, we've had employees that too young, haven't seen it, and they're just like, what? What did you say? I did also clip this guy. Welcome to the parts department show. Been
testing the machines, they know. Amazing.
It's a little bit of an edge case. It's called Cutting Edge Designers.
Good. Yeah, I haven't gone back to UDO since
I haven't either. I think I got my kicks out or something. I don't know. It was enough.
Yeah, same. Speaking of AI, though, mash the software corner button, because I got...
Hell, I can get you to
thoughts.
Chip, wrong one.
What's new in software corner?
Llama 3 rolled out across Meta. So, firstly, release of Llama 3 is, like, fairly significant in open source, semi-open source world. Right. For the first time ever, I think I've thought about cancelling my ChatGPT subscription. There's some pretty serious competition now.
Does it do images?
Yes, and it's blindingly fast. You can use it anywhere. So if you use the search function in the Instagram app, you can just go ask Meta AI within Instagram.
Oh, that's what that is.
You can do all the normal AI functions. You can get it to code, you can get it to answer questions and generate images, and the image generation is ultra fast, much quicker than GPT-4. And I reckon it's a bit of a killer move by Meta by putting, they've obviously invested a shit ton in the development of these models.
$26 billion?
I don't know. I haven't heard a number, but I'm sure it's a lot. And they've made it all freely available through Hugging Face and these open source platforms. And now they're building it into all of their apps. And they're just going to get all these people hooked on using it for free and get all sorts of data out of it in terms of people's usage of it. And they can serve ads in it and all of that. But, like, it's, yeah, I've only played with it as an AI a little bit, but it seems very powerful and very quick.
We got to back up here. I think I found this thing called Hugging Face that's just new to me. Is this something you knew about?
Yeah.
It's AI building AI community. So it's weird. Somewhere on here you play with Llama 3.
Oh, no. I've only played with Llama 3 through the Instagram search bar, which is wild.
Oh, because it's so it's useful.
It's natively. I know it sounds crazy, but, like, it's fully functioning like chat interface as if I was using ChatGPT, but it's a
DMing. It's just built in, I guess.
You're DMing Meta AI through that instead of
it doesn't.
Whatever.
It doesn't work. I'm not seeing it on the desktop, so I'm assuming it must be just app based. So then, is there somehow that sounds terrible to me? Is there a way to use it that isn't the search bar in Instagram?
Yeah, they've got a web interface as well, I believe. That you can use like a hosted version of Llama 3 online somewhere. I haven't gone looking for that, but I believe that does exist.
Right.
I see. You can run it, you know, download it on Hugging Face and run it on your own hardware as well. So, like,
right.
Interesting. Things be changing. And Microsoft have also released some super lightweight models that, like, can run on a phone and, like, use basically very low hardware resources. Can't remember what they're called, 523 models or something. They're, like, small language models instead of large language models, but done in such a way that they're sort of rivaling ChatGPT 3.5 in terms of speed and functionality, but, like, can definitely run offline on our Apple hardware.
I wonder if this is going to instigate ChatGPT, OpenAI to drop their cost or make it free.
I hope so.
You're going to see a lot of jumping ship, maybe.
Yeah. I've had a few moments this week where I was like, maybe I should drop this subscription now. But yeah, we'll see.
What do you lose? The priority, I guess? And four?
Yeah. I lose, I don't know. Yeah, lose four. Yep.
Interesting. I haven't tried it yet. Yeah, I've seen that little swirly thing on the search bar, and I've just totally ignored it because I legitimately thought it was going to be like a voice-activated, like, oh, you can type your search by voice now. And I was like, I don't want to do that.
Well, it's a bit wackadoodle in terms of interface design because I didn't really twig what it was either because it's animated with that little search bar. But instead of searching, if you just hit the direct message paper aeroplane icon, it just takes you into a DM with the AI. So, yeah.
Right.
There you go. New thing for you to play with.
I know about
that. New toys. Yeah.
Doesn't sound very productive.
And you're booting up an Airtable ERP course?
Maybe. I don't know.
Thinking about it?
Thought about it. Honestly, cool. I'm concerned it won't have enough people that are interested to make it worthwhile.
It's very niche.
But, you know, I think that's the best way to phrase it. But it's you know, managing. You could do it a lot of different ways. I can't think of any way to do it that isn't like a course platform kind of thing. Where, you know, I would kind of segment it around lessons that are about doing a certain thing. And I think it would be building off of from zero. You start a new base to, all right, here's how this baseline thing works. Make a new table that has certain data and then interact with them, work with, you know, automations. And, you know, people ask on old videos and stuff like, oh, can I just see yours? And I'm like, it's so convoluted and, like, built on top of each other. It's like a We've built on it six times. You can't see where the foundation is. So,
yeah, same.
I don't know. I by almost no means would make considerable money. It would be mostly like a, you know, cover some cost of spending the amount of time it would take to really show it well. And I don't think it would do very well on YouTube either. I just think it's niche down enough that I would probably do it as a separate thing. So I don't know. Like you said, we both could have used it 5 years ago, probably.
Yeah, we could have used it 5 years ago, which makes me wonder, like, where are the people who could use that now? Like,
yeah, is it more or less now?
certainly, I think just anecdotally, the conversations I've had with my peers, other small manufacturers or makers who I've chatted to about ERPs over the years, they're the two main guys I can think of have now invested in like 30 plus thousand ERP systems off the shelf and a loving life, apparently. So, don't know. But I'm sure there's still heaps of players out there who are like,
right?
Yeah, I want to make my own, like you and I.
I think there's going to be a lot of people newer or have nothing they have, and I just don't see that being the pathway that a lot of smaller shops want to or can go to spend that kind of money up front. It's just that's why I did the one I did, and even like the options that were out there are like Job Shop or whatever. The ones I can't remember them anymore. It's like it was hundreds of dollars a month, which for 2 to 3 people was madness to me. So, you know, I don't know. It's probably not the absolute best thing you can have and get. What it's so great about it in a simple sense, I think we both still appreciate, is it can be whatever you want it to be. It's very flexible. It still manages data well, and you can continue to refine and reconfigure it without having to hire a developer, begging the company to fix something that doesn't work very well. Anyway, don't know. Maybe won't be the way. Just kind of testing the waters to see if people are
acting. I think it's good to keep testing the waters, see what you get back. Like with your CAD course, like there's obviously a lot of upfront time invested in all that content and damaging your vocal tones in making all those videos and all of that, but like once it's done and dusted, it's super low. Just about that return, right, of understanding like how much time it's going to take you and what you might get out of it. But then it's a continuous return, right? It's kind of evergreen to a point.
Yeah, I think so. I think it, I don't know. I don't know how long I've thought about, you know, there's definitely more things I can add to the the Fusion one. And I think it could be kind of the same with the Airtable one, where it's like I made what I think would be helpful to most people, but there's also more you can keep adding to the point where it's like really comprehensive. And, you know, it's only a benefit to the people that have taken it, I guess, or have access, that they're just getting more content. So if things change, it's really easy to revise a section. And I think the weirdest thing is probably just that if, you know, the video that I'm in or the screen might be a different look potentially, and everything changes. But yeah, I don't know. We sold, you know, a decent amount of people interested and taking it. And I was always kind of doing it, which is kind of funny. It was only an additional thing for the in-person class to make that easier on us at first. And I was like, oh, wait, we could actually sell people that want this otherwise.
Yeah, cool.
Nice. Yeah. Upgrading, I guess, some fixtures for pedestal parts. It's like
Easy
Lock thread repairs. A different type than we've used before. So I have to feel kind of like bastardizing something, but drill it out and add them in. But we've used it enough that it's torn out the aluminum in a decent amount of the spots.
Are they helicoils or something different?
It's like a actual, instead of a coil of wire, it's like a manufactured thread, I guess.
Thread, yeah.
But okay. It's got Loctite on the side. You drill it out and then you set them a certain depth and should last longer. It's funny how you can keep, like, you don't scrap the whole fixture. You just kind of keep keep drilling it deeper and wider and adding more stuff.
Yeah, cool. I think
there's one level beyond this, too. That's on my list. I've got a few odds and ends mill projects to do that aren't products, but...
Yeah, sweet. Nice.
Not sure what's on my list today. Continue to catch up on some drawings. I'm still the drawing bottleneck, which is annoying.
Right.
But I think that's just going to be my life now. That's okay. Just need to make time for it.
And stop
procrastinating on certain jobs. And get some quotes out. I think that's my day. Take the kids to circus.
Right.
That is all.
Circus is like what's that like?
Circus school.
Circus school.
Yeah.
Like performers.
Yeah, you know, like flips and
gymnastics?
Stuff.
Gymnastics, maybe?
Nah, circus.
Interesting.
We have a circus school here in town, which is actually where I train, where I go and do my parkour training. Same gym.
Ah, I see.
And unsurprisingly, both my children are quite interested in climbing and jumping off things as a result. And
so, I wonder why.
In their current age group, they can only do circus classes. But when they're a little bit older, they'll be able to do parkour classes as well, which will be fun.
Wild. Meow. Dogs. Not licking my legs, but it's scratching the ground, so it's distracted there. I have something to show you when we're done here, so.
Okay.
A little offline detail. Oh, I'm excited.
Excited too. Show me.
And we're out of stuff, so. Good morning,
Daddy. Show me now. Beep boop.
Okay, bye. Bye.